The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. And, wow, do we have a lot going on. Ladies and gentlemen, something very historic is happening today in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. Something rather unusual is happening today, and we get to see this happen in real time as President Joseph Robinette Biden finally has agreed to sit down and take questions from the White House press corps. Yes, we're having a press conference today, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to help out the White House press corps because we know they never do ask the right questions, and we want to know if you have the opportunity, what sort of a question would you ask Joe Biden? What would you ask of Joe Biden? I would ask him, for me, it's not so much policy with Joe Biden. I mean, we know he's a radical progressive. We get that. But for me, I would be asking questions like, do you remember your name? Do you know what year you were born in? What is your birth date? Those are some things that I would be throwing out there. Is this an apple or a banana? You know, things, very simple things, just to get an idea of his cognitive skills.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
Whether or not he really knows that he is the president of the United States. By the way, what's the over-under on how long it takes President Biden to answer a question by, I don't know, saying, hamada, 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 hamada. And then Joe Biden, and you know what's going to happen. He'll be asked a question, and they always pick out all the, there's nothing spontaneous about this. Joe Biden, if you haven't seen how this works, there's actually a list that the president has to work from. And we all know this, right? We all know that Biden is only allowed to call from the approved list of reporters. And if he does not, I mean, he's told us that he gets in trouble. We don't know if maybe they've got him connected to some sort of a taser-like device, and every time he goes off script, they shock him. There's something going on there. We don't know what, but, I mean, how many times have we heard him say that? That somebody behind the scenes doesn't like it when he calls on a reporter who hasn't been previously screened or vetted. So it's all very scripted, except for Biden, because when he opens his mouth, you don't know what's going to come out of that mouth. I mean, you really don't. But since before the MLK holiday, they've been preparing for this. He did not do anything. There were no public appearances. He did a pre-taped, pre-recorded MLK video. He has been sequestered in the basement in Delaware, and they haven't let him out since then. So we don't know if he's been in some sort of a comatose condition and they're juicing him up, and then they're just going to wake him up, get him dressed, and prop him up in front of the press corps. Because, you know, when the president, and you can sort of tell when his meds are off or, you know, when things aren't working correctly, I mean, it's very clear. He's not a good actor. The president's a lot of things. He's not a thespian. know. No, he's happily married. And she will be there, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden. I'm sure she will be there. But whenever he is off, he is off. And so you know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to ask him a question, probably Peter Ducey. Mr. President, what do you have to say, Mr. President, about the fact that only 2% of the American people think you're doing a heck of a great job? And you know what he'll do? He'll
ruin international average.
Yeah. And then he'll say, habada habada habada. Habada habada habada. Habada habada habada.
Ruin international average.
Habada habada. Excuse me. Great. I got joked up.
It's a lot.
My goodness.
It's hard.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Lines of the culture war. It's Todd Starnes.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Oh, geez, Alou, my apologies. We had like a medical incident on air. Got all choked up. It's this crazy weather. It's like 80 degrees one day here in Memphis, 20 the next, snowing the next. You never know what's going to happen around here. So my apologies. But back to Joe Biden and the crazy press conference we're about to have. I mean, he's going to be yelling, hollering, and hammering. We don't know what he's going to be saying. You know who I feel bad for today? I feel bad for the person doing the sign language, because they're going to be looking over at the president and go, what in God's name are you trying? What are you saying here? But Joe Biden will be screaming and hollering, America. That's how he does. He screams and gets quiet and whispers. It's all very disconcerting. So anyway, very curious to know, what do you think, some of the questions, what would you like the president to be asked about today? 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we'll be bringing you more info and intel on the press conference, and I'm sure you'll be able to hear it live on your radio station. Meantime, early this morning, I was getting ready. I had just gotten up. It was going to be a somewhat relaxing day, and go and I make the make myself a cup of community coffee. I have the pecan praline blend. Man, is that good! And it's just a great way to start the day, very leisurely. Open up the email. I open up the email. I get an email from YouTube, and I thought, oh boy. What is this about? So we've gotten in trouble with YouTube, and you're gonna want to hear this story because it involves our good friend Pastor John MacArthur from Grace Community Church. Now on Sunday, Pastor MacArthur was preaching a sermon about transgenderism, and he said very, very directly that this is not of God. That God made male and female. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God made man male and female? Is that a controversial statement to make? Well, YouTube, we're going to play this audio for you. This is a clip, and we actually posted what you're about to hear. We actually posted the video of it on our YouTube page. Here's what the pastor said.
Simply stated, there is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY. That's it. God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality. This notion that you are something other than your biology is a cultural construct intended as an assault on God. The only way you can address it, honestly, is to say, God made you. And God made you exactly the way He wanted you to be. You're not only fighting God in His physical creation, you are, even more importantly, fighting God in His sovereignty. You are fighting God in His spiritual relationship to you. This is a war on God. I'm not going to let God tell me who I am. I'm not going to let God define me. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to define myself.
All right. So that is a clip of the sermon that was broadcast by Pastor John MacArthur, and we put this on our YouTube channel. You heard it with your own ears. YouTube says what you just heard is hate speech. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. I mean, that's a pretty bold phrase, hate speech. People go to jail in the United States for hate speech. In Canada, there is a new law on the books. And that new law says that if you are a minister, if you are a Christian leader, you are not allowed to be critical of the LGBT agenda from your pulpit. You're not allowed to, even in the privacy of, let's just say that you're a minister and, or maybe you're a Christian counselor and you go and someone is wanting counseling in that particular issue and you go and you give them that counseling and you tell them, hey, look, God made you a man. God made you a woman. You don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to do that. There's no such thing. I mean, that was up until, I don't know, a year or so ago, that was considered to be a mental illness. But now Canada is saying, even if you're giving private counsel to someone, you can go to jail for that. Now, I know we have people of all different stripes and persuasions that listen to this show, and this is America. I believe and I defend the Constitution on this program every single day. How you want to live your life is your business. That's between you and God. It's not my decision. I can't, and I don't judge you. I mean, that's not what we do here. This is America, the land of the free, and that is the operative word here. So I want to ask the LGBT listeners in our audience a question. Do you believe it should be against the law for preachers to preach from their pulpits what the Bible says about sexuality? Do you believe that should be a crime? Should pastors be punished? Should they face civil fines? Should they go to jail? Just like Canada, because in Canada right now, that's against the law. You're not allowed. In Canada, you can go to jail up to 5 years. 5 years in prison if you preach against things, if you encourage activities like conversion therapy. Now, look, I don't know anything about conversion therapy. I don't know if it works or doesn't work. I don't know. But for some people, they say, you know what? I went through conversion therapy and it works. It's great. Others have gone through it. It doesn't work. But should that be criminalized? Folks, you better wake up, because we are moving into a very weird time in world history. Now, I want you to follow the chain of thought here on where all of this is going. Pastor MacArthur, on Sunday, as an act of solidarity, encouraged pastors all over America to preach about the Bible's teachings on sex and gender from their pulpits. And he did, and hundreds of other preachers did all over America. Did you hear anything of what Pastor MacArthur said? Did you hear anything that sounds remotely like a hate crime? So here's where the hate crime is. The hate crime is saying there's no such thing as transgenderism. So we got penalized, and they're threatening to pull us off the YouTube permanently. And what do I care? You know why? Because we post all of our videos over at ToddStearns.com. We only do YouTube on the side because a lot of people are still over on YouTube, and that's fine. But most of our listeners, you guys know that all of our content is on ToddStearns.com. They can't censor us there. So here's where all of this is going. And, you know, you want to be a science denier. Okay, so it's either XX or XY. If your science says something else, that's not science. That's opinion. But Pastor MacArthur is saying is that God made you. And if you were born a little boy, and now all of a sudden you want to identify as a little girl, what you're basically saying is God made a mistake. And ladies and gentlemen, I haven't been to seminary. I don't have any theological training. So this is the view from the pew. My God doesn't make mistakes. Doesn't make mistakes. So where is all of this going? So I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And I suggested that ultimately this is about censoring the Holy Bible. Now you think about this. They're going after preachers for preaching about the definition of sex. They're going after Christians. Where are all of these people getting their information? Well, they're getting it from the Bible. So I don't think it's that much of a stretch to somehow think that one day, very soon, we will see progressives declaring war on the Bible. The first step will be on the local public school level, and you will see Bibles banned from school libraries, public school libraries. No doubt about that. That is going to happen. They will, because they're filling the libraries right now with all sorts of radical propaganda to target your kids. Now, again, I'm not anti-gay. You will hear the Human Rights Campaign and GLAAD and all these radical sex and gender terrorists, and that's really what they are. They're not revolutionaries. They're terrorists. They want to go in and destroy anybody who doesn't bow down and worship them. That's it, period. They're after payback now, and they're coming after all the churches. And sadly, a lot of you guys attend churches that have pastors, and they're terrified. They're cowards. They will not talk about these issues in the pulpit. And you got to talk about this stuff because this is what's driving the culture right now. How is a church or a congregation, how are you able to actually be effective in reaching your community when you are terrified, your pastor's terrified, about becoming a target of this LGBT mob? And don't get me wrong here. I think, and I don't know, I may be wrong on this, but I don't think I am. I really don't. I know that this may be controversial for folks, but this is my belief. I think there are plenty of LGBT folks, there are plenty of gay folks in America that just want to be left alone. They want to live their lives. They've made decisions. And again, that decision is between them and God. I can't make that decision for them. You can't. Grace can't. Nobody can. That's between you and God. But I'll defend your rights. I will. I'm a gun-toting, Bible-clinging son of a Baptist. But I'll defend your rights because that's what America is all about. But I think the average gay person in America, they don't care about any of this stuff. They want to be left alone. They're not in some big gay choir singing about coming to get your children. That's not who they are. They're not trying to, you know, cram some sort of an agenda down the throats of the kids. They just want kids graduating high school like the rest of us who can make change down at the Walmart, who know right from wrong, right? That's my opinion. I mean, you may disagree with that, but that's where I stand on all of this. But there are others. People like Joe Biden, who called all you Christians, by the way, the dregs of society. He said that to a gathering of these radical gay and lesbian terrorists, the Human Rights Campaign. And they are. It's a terrorist group, in my estimation. Cultural terrorist. And they want to destroy this nation. They want to destroy your church house. And one day they're going to be coming for the Bible. You watch. You watch and see how this plays out. They're going to be coming for the Bible. And there will be a lot of Christians, a lot of very well-known evangelicals out there who will be standing up alongside the LGBT crowd. And they're going to say, maybe we just need a new book. Maybe one that's a little less, maybe a little less harsh on some of those issues of the day. You may think I'm off kilter here, folks, but I am very concerned about what just happened to John MacArthur on YouTube. Banned for hate crime. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, if you're like me, it seems like winter always puts an extra strain on your immune system, and that's why I rely on Immuno 150. Did you know that most foods contain no more than 15 minerals? That's it, and it's because of a lack of minerals in today's topsoil. But Immuno 150 was formulated specifically with 70 plant minerals, along with 80 other nutrients designed to improve your health. Look, let me just read the label for a second here. All right, it's got vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, chromium, 150 in all. Over the past 2 years, we've all been concerned about building a strong immune system, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Immuno 150. It helps me fight against all sorts of sickness. So supercharge your health with Immuno 150. Go to Immuno150.com/Todd, or you can call 888-306-8855. That's 888-306-8855, and that website again, Immuno150.com/Todd. So the CDC is coming out with some new rules, regulations, and suggestions. Now they are telling school districts that they need to cancel football and marching band in every school district in America. This is according to the Centers for Disease Control. CNN has the piece. The CDC says that if they had... control, if they were the decision makers, then they would actually ban schools from wrestling, holding wrestling matches, marching band, football, you name it. The CDC tells people, by the way, who've recovered from the China virus, they can leave their homes after 5 days. And while they are out and about, they should avoid being around more than 80% of the U.S. public. Unbelievable. So we'll see how things go here, but this is far from over, at least for now. And let me explain how this is. It's about to get really political, the China virus. So here's where we are. Joe Biden's approval ratings are at historically low levels, so much so that people are openly talking in Washington, D.C., in leadership about replacing Biden. I mean, it's that bad. It really is that bad. So the Democrats are going to have to figure out something. What is it that the Democrats can do between now and Election Day in the midterm elections to move the needle? What is it? Is there anything they can do? Yesterday we were talking about these reports, these rumblings, that there may be a retirement from the Supreme Court, and if that happens, one idea is Kamala Harris named to the Supreme Court, which would be a horrible thing, but Kamala Harris named to the Supreme Court, Hillary Clinton comes in as vice president, Biden steps away, and Hillary becomes president, serves out the remainder of the term, runs in 2024 for a full 4-year term, and takes on Donald Trump. That's one thought. But another is that the virus sort of goes away. It becomes dormant. Over the next month or so, you will see people talking less and less about the spread of the virus, people treating it like the flu. I mean, that's what the UK is doing right now. They have just announced that they're going to start treating the China virus like the flu. So it's possible that you will see the Democrats begin to slowly declare victory over the China virus between now and the midterm elections, thinking that the American people are going to forget about what the Democrats did to them and how the Democrats destroyed their lives, destroyed schools, destroyed businesses. And then if the Democrats are able to stave off complete disaster, I think you will see them resume the lockdowns and the crackdowns after the election. I mean, it's just like you've seen these stories. Have you? If you watched, what's that? What's the ladies' show for? There's a ladies' channel on cable, Lifetime, and they had these horrible stories. Grace, you know what I'm talking about? They had all these horrible stories about, you know, evil men doing horrible things to their wives.
Oh yeah, do they have the show called Snapped, where it's like the women? It's like how,
and then the women kill their husbands, and everybody celebrates. Woo, yay! He deserved it. Yeah, that. Yeah, you know that kind of stuff. So anyway, but Grace, you've seen these movies and these narratives where there's a guy and he goes and he beats up his girlfriend, and she calls the police. The police come and I don't want to press charges. He loves me. I deserved it. So then the police leave. And then the guy beats her up again. And then the guy comes back and apologizes and gives her, like, flowers and candies. And, oh, baby, I love you. And
it's like, when he's not beating me up, he's a really nice guy.
Right, exactly. So you know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
All right. So think of the relationship between the Democrats and the American people like that. Like, we're a battered girlfriend.
An abusive relationship.
They smack us around. They beat the living crap out of us. And then when election time rolls around, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I love you. I can't control myself. My love for you is just
a free COVID test.
That's what it is, though. I mean, it's the same kind of people just don't think right. I mean, if you're in a bad relationship, what you do when he smacks you is you smack him upside the head with a cast iron skillet and call the police.
And get out of there.
And throw his butt out of there. That's what you do.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. And people, they buy into what the Democrats are selling every single election cycle. But you
watch it just right.
You wait and see. You wait and see how this is going to play out. But that's what's going to happen.
That's why I'm worried, like, the almost, like, fatigue. Like, if people will forget. But when it gets to 2024, it'll be like, well, he really wasn't that bad of a president. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
It's interesting you brought up 2024. There's something going on. There's a lot of scuttlebutt between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. And the media reports, and these are coming from conservatives and pro-Trumpers as well as the mainstream media. So that's why I know, that's how you can tell something is up.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy any of it?
No, I think people have ulterior motives and they're trying to, like the pro-Trump people are trying to prop up Trump, and the never-Trumpers are trying to prop up the other guy.
I have a theory about all of this, but let's set the stage here. So there's a lot of rumblings in the media about Trump and DeSantis clashing, not getting along. Trump wants DeSantis to publicly announce he's not going to run for 2024. DeSantis just a few days ago talked about how he wished he would have been more, he would have opposed President Trump's vaccine policies more. So there's something going on. You've got Wendy Rogers out there, a lot of other folks in Trump world that are really going after DeSantis and urging him to do the right thing here. So I don't know 1,000% for certain what's going on, but I have a theory about this. So here it goes. We all know that Trump is pro-vaccine. That issue does not sit well with the MAGA base.
Agreed.
And I'm wondering if DeSantis is playing the part of the bad guy so that the media, because the more DeSantis, and DeSantis is not necessarily anti-vax, but he is more so than Trump is.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I'm wondering if DeSantis is intentionally playing the bad guy here to make Trump seem more more pro-vaccine and more approachable to the mainstream media.
Wow. That would be something.
because now Trump is looking mainline, and I mean Trump's position on the vaccine is mainstream.
Yeah,
I mean that's a mainstream thing.
He's not changing that.
No, DeSantis actually holds the MAGA view on the vaccines,
which is crazy, right?
But MAGA world is upset with DeSantis, right? It's a mess. All that
we're wasting our time with all this infighting, but anyway,
and that's the problem. We can't afford infighting. I mean, we've got
it.
So that's what I think. Maybe this is all, you know, Trump and DeSantis are, they got together at Mar-a-Lago and it's like, hey, here's the plan.
It reminds me of a National Enquirer story. I'm just like, y'all are fabricating half of this. Maybe somebody said some comment at a party and then they're like, oh, here it goes.
But the more obvious and simple issue here could be there really is bad blood brewing there. And if that's the case, that needs to get fixed right away.
Yes.
This is not good. We cannot go into the midterms with a divided party. We can't have Republicans fighting against Republicans. We can't have MAGA world fighting against MAGA world. Everybody's got to get on the same page.
Well, that's why I've never been a fan of the Trump-DeSantis ticket, because that's two alphas right there, and they would butt heads.
Big
like
time.
No one's business.
Big time. And look, I think a Trump-Scott ticket, Tim Scott out of South Carolina, that'd be a great ticket.
Yeah,
I like DeSantis,
ticket.
But I'm with you. I'm not sure DeSantis is best served as a VP.
Oh, no. See, yeah, no. I don't think so.
He wouldn't be happy there. There's nothing to do.
No. But I'm just saying that they would
except certify the election or don't certify the election.
Oh, my gosh.
One thing. Yeah.
Oh, geez, Louise. No, my pick is DeSantis, but I don't think he's going to run.
But it's like, I like Mike Pence. Look, Mike Pence, 99%, 99% of the time was right there with the president until the very end. And then all of a sudden, he's an evil man.
Oh, no,
that's out. That's stupid.
It is stupid.
And there are people in MAGA world that think he is Satan incarnate. No, he supported the president. He put his reputation on the line every single day for Donald Trump.
Oh, yes.
Supported the agenda. Until the very end. Until the very end.
Which, that's a whole other conversation.
And I saw a line from somebody, and this is what it caused me some concern. One of the big Trump supporters, I'm not going to name the person's name, they put out a tweet, and they said, Ron DeSantis better bow on knee to Donald Trump or it's over.
Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to be very clear here, and maybe we haven't talked a lot about this. We don't bow on bended knee to no man. Not a one. We don't do that. And conservatives better not do that. You better not get caught up in the politics of the personality. And that is a bad, bad road for the conservatives to go down. Big time. All right. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. You think Trump and DeSantis are really going at it, or you think this is part of a broader strategy?
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Happy New Year, friends. 2022 is going to be a critical year for America and for AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, along with their nearly 2 million members, like me. The fight to stop out-of-control spending in the president's Build Back Better scheme is far from over. Congress is plotting more legislation that could hurt our seniors, and the midterm elections will be a battle for freedom versus socialism. Unlike liberal groups, AMAC is America's conservative action-oriented 50-plus organization fighting hard every day in Washington and across the nation for our seniors. I'm urging you to choose AMAC now. You'll receive all the great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, and your membership will support your values. Go to amac.us/Todd. Again, that's amac.us/Todd to become an AMAC member now.
This just in, all you Starbucks fans out there, can I just say, I'm not a big Starbucks guy. I just don't like paying that much money for coffee. And then, they always spell your name wrong, and um, they um, it's just, I don't know. It's almost a, like condescending the way they try. I don't, it's just a weird thing. And the coffee tastes burnt. Anyway, Starbucks announcing in a memorandum they will no longer require employees to be vaccinated against the China virus. This is coming from the Daily Wire. Starbucks cancels vaccine mandate after the Supreme Court ruling. The company CEO says they strongly encourage vaccine and booster shots, but they're also telling workers, now here's the weird thing, they're telling workers they can't wear the cloth masks to work anymore. They have to use the medical grade surgical masks. The move comes after Starbucks said during the first week of January it was going to require all of its workers to get vaccinated. General Electric announced last week it was also suspending its China virus vaccine policy or test requirement. You know why? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen, because they couldn't get anybody work for them. People were quitting their jobs. That's what that was all about. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Texas, Benjamin on the line. Benjamin, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Hey, I just wanted to say that I don't think Trump is done with politics or he wouldn't be having these massive rallies still. So I think he's still the guy for 2024. And I would like to see, I know he's running for governor of my state now, but I would like to see Alan West be his vice president in 2024 because he could win the African-American community. And I think he'd be a really good guy.
Now, Alan West, what happened there? He was chairman of the Republican Party, and he resigned.
Yes, I'm not sure a whole lot about details on that, but yes, he did resign from that. And
all right, Benjamin, appreciate the call. I'm not sure what happened there, but thanks for listening. That was weird. Yeah, I don't know. Alan West, you know, it's kind of like Palin. I want people to follow through. You know what I mean? It's, you know, if you're going to run for an office, follow through on that. If you get elected, go and do your job. You know, that it's, and if it's meant to be down the road for a higher office, okay, it's meant to be. But I that's why I really respect DeSantis coming out and saying, you know what, running for a second term, is Trump really upset that the guy is, that DeSantis has not come out and said, not going to run if Trump runs? Somebody needs to figure all of this out, and there needs to be a meeting of the minds, and they just need to figure out, is Trump going to run or not, yes or no? Because the Republicans need to start organizing and planning and plotting. And I will say this about the Trump campaign, and it's I know this is a controversial, I'm just feeling weird today about all of this, but the campaign was not well organized at all. I mean, it really wasn't. And I know this because I was doing a lot of traveling during that presidential election cycle, and I kept hearing complaints from people there. There was not a big door-to-door effort. There were not get-out-the-vote efforts. There are a lot of areas that as a matter of fact, I know one organization, one group of conservatives, Republicans, and they were told they had to purchase their Trump sign. So if you wanted a yard sign, I mean, normally when, you know, the campaign provides those signs free of charge, well, they're charging for everything. And then in many cases, they just didn't have a lot of campaign organization on the grassroots local level. That being said, we've got to fix that. They know what worked and what didn't work, and they got to fix it. And if they don't fix it, they're going to have problems. Oh, by the way, back to Starbucks. Memphis, Tennessee, the Starbucks baristas want to unionize. And they say they work in horrible conditions, and they want a minimum wage, a mandatory minimum wage of $15 an hour. Now, look, I mean, I get it, but the reality here is, folks, that if you are paying your barista, what, $15 an hour, you're going to be charging people $10 for whatever kind of lattes or, you know, wheatgrass juice or whatever else they serve up in that place. I'm not too sure that I don't think Starbucks management. Do you think they're really going to go for something like that? I mean, I know they're a woke, liberal, Seattle-based company, but even they have to know, you know, what works and what doesn't work from a business perspective. So there you go. They don't get the name spelled right. They always mess up the orders. They're always in a bad mood. It's just not a very pleasant place to go. You know, and it used to be a status symbol, but I don't know. All I can say is those baristas better be careful because they can all be replaced by a Keurig. Heck of a lot cheaper. At least they get your name right. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Senator Marsha Blackburn coming up. Also our good friend, Pastor Paul Chappell, and a big, big Supreme Court case we're going to get to. That high school football coach who took a knee to pray, yeah, the Supreme Court's going to hear his case. Stick around, everybody. Hour two coming up next. I'm a little particular when it comes to bath towels. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell, over at MyPillow. Not only do they make great pillows, they also make incredible towels. Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA, and they have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. Again, all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you're going to get. A six-piece towel set, normally $109, but now only $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome towels. Enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 for this incredible radio special. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody. Wow. So the Democrats just said the quiet part out loud. You know, you've got the Senate trying to shove through this election steal legislation, and Congressman Hakeem Jeffries just announced that the Federal Elections Takeover Bill is inspired by Hugo Chavez. Yes, the socialist dictator, Hugo Chavez. And then he corrected himself and said he meant to say Cesar Chavez. No, we know what you meant. We know what you meant, Mr. Congressman, and we'll get that audio for you a little bit later on in the program. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Very excited to introduce our next guest to you on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. She is running for Congress. She is a former, very gifted NCAA athlete. And she is a conservative. Caroline Levitt is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Caroline, good to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on to talk about this very important issue.
Yeah, look, the issue is these men who identify as women, and now they're playing on a lot of the athletic teams, and I know that you are an NCAA swimmer. What was your initial reaction when you heard about the situation at the University of Pennsylvania?
Well, my initial reaction was, quite frankly, I was unsurprised, because I've been seeing this transgression transpire now for several years. We've seen biological males competing in female athletics at the high school level, at the local level, and now at the collegiate level. And it's extremely disappointing, which is why I chose to speak up about it. As you mentioned, I'm a former NCAA athlete myself. I'm now also a candidate for Congress. And so this is an issue I really want to champion, because it's, like you said, it's absolutely ridiculous that these men who have clear superior advantages to these women are playing in these leagues. I mean, Leah Thomas absolutely smoked her opponents by 38 seconds in the pool. It's so unfair to these girls who worked so hard to swim at the highest level that they possibly could. And so who is standing up for them? Where are all the feminists across America who are speaking out on this blatant inequality. Well, they're not there. They're silent. And so that's why I've chosen to speak up and be really vocal on this topic.
You know, Carolyn, I'm curious to, about the reaction and what you're hearing from female athletes. I mean, you're a member of the Generation Z community. You're a Division II athlete. What are you hearing?
Well, I will say that I actually put out a poll on my Instagram. I have about 10,000 followers on my Instagram, and they're all my generation, Generation Z voters. So I was curious to go on that social media platform and see what people thought. So I put out a poll question that said, do you agree with biological males competing in female athletics? Only 13 people that follow me of the 10,000 said, yes, I agree with that. So young people, while they do overwhelmingly vote Democrat, they don't agree. They notice that this is a clear violation, first of all, of Title IX, but it's also lacks complete common sense. It's totally unfair and it's totally unsafe. So I've received an overwhelming amount of messages, very humbling, actually, from women and girls and even men who are saying, thank you for speaking up about this issue, because they don't lack the courage. They lack the courage to do it, which to me, again, is a huge problem. Why do we lack the courage in this country to say what everyone knows to be true? Well, I certainly don't. And I will tell you, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And I've had a lot of people reach out to me in the last few days while I've been talking about this issue.
I think this is terrific. Of course, you are running for Congress up in New Hampshire. That's what it's Congressional District 1. And Caroline, back when I worked at Fox News Channel, they would send me up there during the presidential primary. So we'd have to go to Dixville Notch. And that was the first time I saw a moose crossing sign. I thought, what in the world is that?
Yeah, New Hampshire is an amazing state. It's my home state. I grew up here in a small business family, grew up in the district. I'm running to represent, to beat the Democrat incumbent, who is an absolute puppet for Nancy Pelosi. And she is definitely pummeling some money into his wallet. But we have a really strong grassroots campaign. We've raised over $650,000. Majority of that has come from here in state. So we are the first in the nation primary state. People here take their vote really seriously. So you got to go up to Dixville Notch. You got to go in every diner and cafe and bar to meet voters and to let them know your message and to earn their respect and support. But we've been doing that for 6 months, and we have the clear advantage in this primary. So it looks like we will definitely be on our way to beating the Democrats in the general election, which is exciting because we don't have a Republican representative in our federal delegation at all. So we need a conservative voice. It's the live free or die state, and it's a shame that we don't have a freedom-loving representative down in Washington, D.C. serving us.
Well said. I love everything you just said. And Caroline, I know you had a terrific op-ed in the Boston Herald really outlining this very important issue. And for folks who may not be in New England, may not understand New Hampshire, honest to goodness, Caroline, you drive out of, we would fly into Boston, then drive up, and you hit that state line. I mean, you've got Cracker Barrels, you've got, you know, NASCAR, pickup trucks. It's almost like, I mean, so the values that the folks in New Hampshire have are the same values that people in many other parts of this country share.
Oh, absolutely. We really are the shining light of liberty in the Northeast. We have a Republican-controlled legislature here at the state level. We have a Republican governor. We are overwhelmingly a fiscally conservative state. We have no income tax, no sales tax. We just slashed our interest and dividends tax. It's a great state to live, to grow up, to start a business like my family has, and that's why I'm running for Congress, to protect it. But we have a lot of freedom-loving folks in this state who are fed up with what's going on in Washington. They're really excited about my campaign, but it is going to take people and support from across the country. So if any of your listeners are interested and helping and supporting my candidacy, this is a top targeted seat by Washington, D.C. All eyes are on it, and they can check out my website, one, to read the op-ed, and two, to make a contribution if they would be so willing. It's carolineforcongress.com, and my first name, Caroline, is with a K, so you can't forget it.
I love it. Caroline, who inspired you to run?
Oh, many people, I will say. So I had the honor of working for President Trump in the White House. I was an assistant press secretary on Kayleigh McEnany's team. So she played a huge role in my young professional career. And then I had the chance to work for Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who was another great female mentor to me. And she kind of gave me the kick in the butt that I needed to believe in myself enough to come home and do this. But so they're two great, professional mentors and role models. But it really comes down to my family and my community here in New Hampshire that I'm so blessed. I thank God every day for it. And those are the people that inspire me to run. You know, they're just good, hardworking, blue-collar folks. I'm the first in my family to graduate with a college degree. And people here want, like I said, freedom-loving representation, someone who's going to go down there and fight the hard fights like this one on the transgender issue and won't back down and will really seek to advance President Trump's America First agenda, which I was proud to be a part of in his White House.
Caroline Leavitt, folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Caroline, I just wish you the very best as you're out there on the campaign trail. We have a lot of listeners in that part of the country, and we'd love to get you back to see how the campaign is going as we move towards the midterms, and hopefully we will see you in Washington, D.C.
Wonderful. Thanks, Todd. I'll come back anytime. It's Caroline Leavitt, Caroline for Congress. Thank you so much.
All right. There you go. Caroline Leavitt. And we've got links to all of her websites and social media stuff over on the live show blog. So make it very easy for you to. We do that for all of our guests. But I like her. A generation. What is it? Generation Z-er. And she is out there and she's crushing it. And I say good for her. And talking about the issues nobody else wants to talk about. I mean, that's what gets me, is that nobody wants to talk about these issues. But Generation Z, and is it Generation, who's Gen, are there, is it Gen Y? Grace, I get these all confused.
There's Gen X, right? And then there's Gen Z, and I'm trying to think, just millennials.
Yeah, yeah, I'm Gen X. So, anyway, it's great to, these young people, I think, are more conservative than even my generation. Because they've seen these policies and everything. Yeah. So anyway, look, folks, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Maybe you haven't seen this, but I'm curious to know, have you noticed that younger Americans, by and large, tend to be more conservative than their parents? And then they go to public school, and then they become radicalized. But by and large, I think most people are somewhat conservative. Most people, by nature, want to be free. They believe in capitalism. They understand the value of hard work. And they know their pronouns. And then they go to school and they're radicalized, and then that's all over. And you got people running around saying they're Z's and Zers and whatnot. It's just very crazy. Hey, Don Lemon from CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thanks, Judge Joe Brown. Don Lemon says that, you know what, we need to be more like Australia.
We have to start doing things for the greater good of society and not for idiots who think that they can do their own research or that they are above the law and they can break the rules. Australia, Novak Djokovic, Australia said, no. We're going to look at the greater good of everyone in our society, and you're not part of that.
There you go. Don Lemon says that America needs to be more like Australia. And what is Australia doing? Well, they've dispatched the military into the neighborhoods. They're rounding up anybody who has not been vaccinated, and they're sending off to camps. Then they're cracking down on the protesters. I've never seen anything like this. And they're saying, I mean, Australia is over. They've lost that country. And the people of Australia, they have to fight back. If there will have to be a civil war in Australia for them to save that country. It's at that point now. And I don't want us to get to that point. I don't think we're near that point yet. But with people like Don Lemon, and then you've got Howard Stern weighing in on it.
If it was up to me, anyone unvaccinated would not be admitted to a hospital. At this point, they've been given plenty of opportunity to get the vaccine. They've been told by our nation's... Right. They've been told that you will die if you don't have the vaccine. Some of you will live, but most of you will die. And they don't trust our government. They think that there's some conspiracy to turn them into a magnet or something like this. They think they're going to become magnetized if they take the vaccine.
Who is this guy? Howard Stern is just a foul-mouthed moron. That's all he is. He's a blowhard who does horrible things with kielbasas. But this guy, there are people who believe this stuff, that if you're unvaccinated, you should just die. I mean, we've heard this from other people. This is not a new thought. He's clearly stolen this thought because Howard Stern doesn't have a brain to think. I don't know what happened to Howard Stern. He used to be funny, used to be entertaining. He was good on the radio, but now he's just woke. He's an old, nasty, dirty, perverted, woke man on the radio. It's sad what's happened to Howard Stern. Very sad. But there are people out there who truly believe that. By the way, did you hear the other guy crack? You know, he made the crack. Send him home with Robitussin. You know what? That's exactly what you ought to do, because guess what? That's the cure for all of this. Get yourself some DayQuil, some NyQuil. You're basically dealing with the garden variety of the flu. But look, don't listen to me. Please don't listen to me on this. Go call your doctor. Don't listen to Howard Stern. Don't listen to that other pervert, Don Lemon, who, by the way, is facing some pretty significant charges himself. Don't listen to these people. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. We're going to be taking calls this hour of the program. 844-747-8868. Grace Baker, people who are watching the program on the Facebook Live and Rumble and wherever else we carry the show, they will notice that I've got the jug.
Oh yeah,
this is not a juice. It's not a jug. It's a tank. It's a water tank.
It's heavy.
It's got like a grip on it. I've never seen anything like this.
It's full. Heck, Todd, you're behind schedule. It's got like time markers on it for where you're supposed to be at and your water drinking during the day.
No. You know why? Because it was filled to the top, and you're supposed to fill it right to the where it says 7 a.m.
That's producer Kyle's fault. He filled it up for you.
So technically, I started drinking at 4 a.m., and I'm just now to right about 7 a.m.
Oof. You're on the wrong time zone, buddy.
So the theory, I'm supposed to drink a gallon of water a day.
Apparently.
And that's supposed to make me healthy.
I will say that's a lot of water. I'm thinking you'd be good with like a half gallon. I think I drink about a half gallon on a normal day. I have my, we were talking about Starbucks. I have my giant like 32-ounce Starbucks cup, and I drink probably 4 or 5 of those a day.
Sweet
for sure.
Lord. This is crazy. So I'm trying to lose weight. You know, I've been getting the messages from all of you folks, and I'm tired of folks calling and telling Grace, Todd needs to eat more salad.
Take care of himself.
Eat carrots.
Rabbit food.
That'll do something with your eyesight. No, I like carrot souffle with lots of sugar
carrot
and cream.
Cake.
Carrot cake. I'm just saying. It's crazy. So anyway, part of the routine, I'm supposed to drink, and I have this state-of-the-art tank.
It is really nice.
It's very nice. It's got a grip on it.
And it has a little, like, a strap. You know you can get, like, a strap so you can wear it like a bag?
I'm not doing that.
I'm serious.
I'm not doing that. I can tell you, though, I am...
All kinds of colors.
I'm good with whatever color. This is black.
You get your volunteer orange strap.
I'm good. I don't want to draw attention to the fact that I'm, like, hauling around a water tank as I'm out doing my exercises. And I'm really concerned because, you know, you're going to go outside, it's going to freeze, and it's going to weigh, you know...
Oof. When I go to
30
the dog,
pounds.
When I go to the dog park, I take a tank like that to put in the water bowls. But that's for dogs.
I'm trying. So I'm going to give this. I'm going to give this a shot. But this is hard. This is hard.
It's hard. I think when you know, for me, I find it easier to have smaller cups. I just drink multiple of because it's like mini goals. You've got like one big goal you got to get to by the end of the day, and that makes it, I don't know, harder to me.
Look, I'm just telling you, and that's what I was doing. And then the staff was like, no, you don't drink that. Kyle was criticizing me. He's lecturing me. You don't drink that much water.
I'll admit, I kind of
drink a lot of water.
Him.
I drink a lot of, you guys.
Apparently not when you're here. You just drink coffee when you're here.
I don't do my drinking in public. I do it in the privacy of my home.
One of those. You're
a closet drinker.
I was going to say. And then I went, maybe I shouldn't say that.
So when someone says, okay, green beans, great. I'll make a casserole. Get some cream of mushroom soup. And then you get the crispy onions. And they're like, no, you got to, you know, eat your vegetables raw.
Sweet potato. Ah, sweet potato souffle.
Exactly. So I do eat veggies.
Just not in their natural
form. Saying. Oh, geez. You know, and what's the point of living if you're not going to enjoy life?
Well, you know, I'm a week into gluten-free right now.
I don't want to get into that. I know you're gluten-free, and, you know, I respect that.
Thanks for not judging.
No, look, it's America. You can live your life. That's between you and God. So, I'm just saying. All right, 844-747-8868. Oh, my word. I got to drink some more water. We'll be right back, America. I feel like we should be doing jazzercise, Grace. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. And those of you watching the show on our Rumble channel or on the Facebook Live, you will see that I'm down to 9 o'clock now on the entire gallon of water that I've got to drink here. I'm not too sure about this weight loss campaign, but we'll see how it goes. You know who is physically fit, though? I mean, this guy's like a rock star, is our good friend Mike Barry. He's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our first Liberty Institute attorney. Mike, you're like a big, like, exercise guy.
I guess so, Todd. Yeah. It's good to be with you again.
Well, yeah, good to be with you. Yeah, so anyway, they've got us, so the health and wellness people are like, yeah, you got to drink like a gallon of water a day. And that's supposed to help you lose weight or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a whole science behind it. But yeah, I know what they're saying.
Well, I wanted to throw a couple of, you know, Louisiana tea bags in there. And, you know, but no, they said that doesn't count. So there you go. But anyway, we're not here to talk about health and wellness. There is a great story and some good news about a case we've been following for years now. And I know I've written about this in at least two books I've had out. Involving our good friend, Coach Joe Kennedy. He's the high school football coach. Well, you tell the story. I don't want to tell the story.
Well, I mean, this goes back to the year 2015, or actually even before that. It goes all the way back to 2008 when Coach Kennedy retired from the Marine Corps. So he's a retired Marine Corps combat veteran. He got a job in Bremerton, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle, as a public high school football coach for Bremerton High School. And he made a commitment to God. You know, he watched this movie called Facing the Giants. And after he watched that movie, he made a commitment to God that after every game, win or lose, didn't matter how his team played, he was going to take a knee at midfield and give a personal, brief prayer of thanksgiving just for the opportunity to be a coach and for what his players did. And that went on for a number of years without any incident, without any complaint. And then in 2015, the school district who knows why school district attorneys get involved in these things, but they decided they needed to investigate to make sure that they weren't doing anything wrong. I mean, heaven forbid somebody's praying, on a football field. Anybody who's ever played football knows there's plenty of prayers that go up during a football game. But, nevertheless, they told him the initial guidance the school district gave him, Todd, this is important. They said, you know, as long as you're not leading your players or students to pray or pressuring them to pray with you, then you can pray by yourself. And Coach Kennedy said, that's perfectly fine. I will comply with that. And the school district even said, by all accounts, he has fully complied with that. But then they moved the goalposts on him, Todd, and they said, a few weeks later, they said, well, now we don't like the fact that you're praying and people can see you praying. And like I said, Coach is a Marine Corps combat veteran. He knows what his rights are. And he said, you can't do that to me. You know, I fought for these freedoms. I didn't give them up just because I work for a school district. And they told him, if you do it again, we're going to fire you. And that's exactly what happened back in 2015. And First Liberty Institute ended up representing Coach Kennedy. We've gone all the way up to the Supreme Court, back down again to the trial court, and now here we are all the way back to the Supreme Court again. And just last week, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear Coach Kennedy's case. So that's the big breaking news that we're announcing. And the court will likely hear oral argument in Coach Kennedy's case in April.
And just, again, to put this in context of where we are in the culture right now, it's okay for a coach to take a knee to protest with his team against the national anthem or whatever. But it is not legal for Coach Kennedy to take a knee to pray. And I think that really shocks a lot of people. But that's the reality of where we are in the country right now.
That's exactly right. You know, and in fact, I'm glad you brought that up. Originally, there were two high school football coaches in the Seattle area who are doing exactly as you said. They were actually kneeling in protest with their team during the national anthem. And not only did nothing happen to them, I mean, as you can imagine, in the Seattle area, they were celebrated as heroes. Oh, they're brave, courageous, you know, they're patriotic for doing this. And yet Coach Kennedy takes a knee to pray, right? And he's fired, and he's vilified, and he's pointed at as if he's done something wrong. And so we're at the Supreme Court hoping that the justices will correct this wrong.
Well, I am so glad that the Supreme Court has accepted this case, and hopefully that could this be one of those landmark cases, or will this be just about Coach Kennedy and his situation?
Well, both. I mean, yes. Right? You know, it absolutely is about Coach Kennedy and his situation. I mean, specifically, we've asked for him to be reinstated as a coach. To be back on the field. I mean, so if we win this thing, he could be back coaching as soon as this fall, or maybe even, you know, this summer, right? I mean, because obviously football season starts long before the fall. And just as you pointed out, Todd, it goes far beyond just Coach Kennedy, though, because if we win, what's really at stake here is the rights of millions of Americans who happen to be government employees, whether they are public school teachers, coaches, administrators, et cetera, because what the school district did and what the Ninth Circuit did in this case is they said, if you're a public school employee and you do anything religious where people can see you, you're not protected by the Constitution because you're a government employee. And that's what we're trying to get the Supreme Court to correct.
So this is where I think it's confusing for a lot of people because, you know, they don't know what the law says. Is it okay for a coach to join in a prayer? Is it okay for a coach to lead a prayer? Because these are things that traditionally have happened at these football games and sporting events, and now all of a sudden they're being told, well, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Well, and this is even simpler than that. This is about whether he can pray by himself because – you know, one of the important facts here is that the time and nature in which coach would pray, he would wait until if you've ever played high school football or been to a high school football game, you've seen this. After the game, the players will walk across midfield and they'll high five the other team or shake hands or maybe mutter something under their breath at the other team, depending on how the game went. And then after that, they go back to their sideline. Each team goes to their own sideline. And the home team will go over into the stands and sing the school fight song and, you know, hug their family members, et cetera. Well, while that's happening, while his team is over on the sideline singing the fight song, that's when coach would pause at midfield and just take a knee for 15 seconds by himself. That's what we're asking for. Is that permissible under the First Amendment to our Constitution? Now, I think you and I would say, absolutely, that's permissible. But the Ninth Circuit said, no, it's not. So that's what's really at stake here.
All right, Mike, we're going to leave it there. Folks, we have links to First Liberty Institute, and they've got all sorts of great information on Coach Kennedy, some great videos as well that you can see as we follow this case. Mike, congratulations. And are you going to be the guy arguing the case? Will you be there at the Supreme Court?
You know, fortunately for Coach Kennedy, no, it will not be me. It will actually be Paul Clement, who is a former Solicitor General of the United States. He's really kind of the Tom Brady of Supreme Court advocates. He's argued more than 100 cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. So you talk about bringing in a ringer. That's who's going to be arguing this case.
Nice. That's exciting news, and we wish you guys the very best. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks so much, Todd.
All right, that's Mike Berry, everybody, First Liberty Institute. And the big news, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case of Coach Joe Kennedy. And the shocking thing, and you heard Mike lay it out here, in Seattle, where all this is taking place, Coach Kennedy got fired for taking a knee at a high school football game to pray. Meanwhile, you have coaches that are taking knees to protest America, and those guys are still on the job. Does that seem right to you? Does that seem fair to you? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, you've been hearing me talk about Patriot Mobile, and we are so honored to be partnering with them. Here we are in a time where DirecTV, which is owned by AT&T, they have announced they're going to be removing One America News from their cable systems. What can we do about it? Well, if you have an AT&T account, it's very simple. Switch right now to Patriot Mobile. And they make it super simple to do that. But we folks, listen, we've got to stop supporting businesses that have weaponized their profits against us, trying to take away our freedom, trying to shut down our voices. We've got to stop it. And if you want to call it a boycott, but we got to stop it. And that's why I support Patriot Mobile. They share our values. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they contribute money to causes that we care about. The Second Amendment, the First Amendment, religious liberty. Patriot Mobile, by the way, has the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other carriers use, and they have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for veterans and first responders. And if you call today, you are going to get an additional discount and a free gift, plus free activation. And it's so easy. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can give them a call. Their U.S.-based customer service team standing by right now, 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use that promo code Todd.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
I love that song.
It's a great song.
Isn't that great? So that's one of my favorite songs. We used to sing that, the whole newsroom back at Fox. We used to sing. Yeah, I don't know. It's a long day. You need to, you know.
It's a good song. And
unwind.
Miley Cyrus does a pretty dang good cover of it. I got to give her.
All right, stop there. No, do not mention. You can't mention Miley Cyrus in the same sentence as Dolly Parton.
They're like buddies.
It doesn't matter. But they may be buddies, but they're not musical equals, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. I think Miley Cyrus is pretty dang talented, but she just went off the wagon in terms of the crazy train.
Yeah, that time she was, what was she doing on the that big wrecking ball?
Oh, I don't care for
twerking,
that song.
Yeah, on the wrecking. Yeah, that happened in my neighborhood back in Brooklyn.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the VMAs. Yeah, that whole wrecking ball thing.
I thought you were saying there was like construction in your neighborhood and someone was swinging around on a wrecking ball.
It was Miley Cyrus and she was twerking. No, it was in the Barclays Center. Anyway, today is Dolly Parton's birthday.
Aw. America's treasure, besides Betty White, the late.
How old do you think Dolly Parton is? Don't look. Don't Google.
Ooh, how old do I think? Okay, I'm going to really sound stupid because I'm just going to spitball because I have no idea. 78.
You see, I'm surprised because I was going to say in her 80s. But she's not.
What is she?
She's 76.
I was close.
You were close.
She hasn't really aged in a long time.
She has not aged at all. But I'm going to give away. We're going to do a trivia question though for Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, in addition to being a great musical entertainer, is also a great humanitarian and also an incredible business person. What is the name of her theme park? 844-747-8868. No, Mountain Majesties is not it. 844-747-8868. If you know the answer. Grace is shaking her head. Hey, Anna in Georgia wants to weigh in on the Coach Kennedy case. Anna, are you glad the Supreme Court's going to jump into this?
Absolutely. It makes it, you know, the Supreme Court's a legitimate body and one of the arms of our government. And I'm hoping that the wisdom is bestowed on them to understand that the whole reason we came to this country was religious freedoms. And if we're not allowed to express those freedoms within the confines of, you know, being realistic and being absolutely devoted to God, we have a responsibility to keep this country going, and the only way we can keep it going is with the blessings of the Lord. And that's, you know, look at our dollar bill. Look at all the things that matter to the people of the United States. Now it's on its head. It's a very sad situation for this coach, and I'm just thrilled that he's being able to hear, you know, have his day in court.
Anna, there are just so many stories like this, and you really do hope that the Supreme Court is going to intervene. I can't imagine them siding any other way except with Coach Kennedy here.
Yeah, I hope he wins his case, and I think he will, because we've got a lot of, you know, our judges are very educated and very, I'm hoping, very reasonable people. I know that there are liberals on that court, but
yes,
we, you know, they can speak with each other and they can make sense. They know how to behave, unlike some of our politicians. But, you know, they know how to behave. And so I'm hoping that the wisdom of God will intercede, that the Holy Spirit will come upon them.
Amen, yeah. Anna. Amen. Yeah. All right. We got to run. Great hearing from you, Anna. Oh, real quick, I've got to play some audio. We told you about Hakeem Jeffries just a few moments ago, and he said the quiet part out loud.
We're inspired Hugo Chavez, Cesar Chavez. We're inspired by.
Okay, let's play that again. Let's stop. I want to go back leaders. To the beginning here, and let's play this again and listen to the mistake he made.
We're inspired Hugo Chavez, Cesar Chavez. We're inspired by all of these leaders.
There you go. Hugo Chavez. It's all about socialism. And no, seriously, you've got it. Folks, this is about shutting down our freedom. That's what this election thing is all about here. All right, let's go to the phones here. We got a lot of people that know the answer to this. You know what? Let's go to James in Statesville, North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. James, how are you today?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
James, I'm doing well, but they got me on a diet, James, and I'm kind of in an ornery mood.
I need to be on one myself.
You know, I think I was going down the list. They were like, do you eat vegetables? I'm like, I got green bean casserole, sweet potato souffle, the carrot souffle, and the next thing you know, I'm eating like salad.
Well, I eat a salad every day for lunch, but I'm on a seafood diet. I see food, I eat it.
I like how you think I need that diet. All right. All right, James, let's win you a prize. What's the name of that theme park that Dolly Parton owns?
Dollywood.
Yeah, you're right. Have you been there, James? It's a great place, yes, actually.
It's been a long time. I'm actually, hopefully when weather gets a little bit better, I want to take my grandson and take him up there. We love that area to visit.
You know, James, you'll see us, the Stearns family, we're normally over at Paula Deen's Kitchen over there near Margaritaville, if you know that area.
Yes, sir, I do.
That's kind of redneck Vegas, James, isn't it?
I tell you what, you can't get no better than that.
That's true. You got to go to that comedy barn down there, though. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll try that as well.
James, don't go anywhere. Hang on. Grace is going to get your info, and congratulations. We're going to send you a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. I think you'll enjoy that book. And happy birthday, Dolly Parton, 76 years old. Wow, and looks great. All right, we've got to take a break here. Senator Marsha Blackburn is coming up. Also, our good friend, Pastor Paul Chappell out in California. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. Good to have you with us today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this. We'll be opening up the phones a little bit later on this hour. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Welcome to our Liberty University studios here of the program. By the way, big day. President Biden is finally going to be taking questions from the media. Don't get too excited, though. This whole thing is pretty much scripted. I'm not sure we're going to be expecting that much in the way of fireworks. But the president, it's been 1 year, folks, 1 year, and the country is literally burning down around us. Did you really think it was going to get that bad with just 1 year of Biden's progressive policies? One person who warned us all about this is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, though, the great senator from Tennessee, my senator, Marsha Blackburn. Hey, Senator, good to have you with us.
Well, it is so good to be with you, and what an interesting day we're having in D.C. You know, the Democrats are once again saying, oh, we don't need the filibuster for this one teeny tiny special issue. Let's have a waiver and a carve out, and let's pass this. And this is a federalizing of election, taking away the responsibilities, the constitutional duty given to state legislatures, bringing it to D.C., and letting the federal government be able to decide who wins, who loses. And also doing away with voter ID, with signature match, institutionalizing mail-out balloting, and making legal ballot harvesting.
Senator, I mean, we're not calling it voting rights. This is voting theft. And if they ever federalize the elections, we're going to be hard pressed to ever elect a Republican again.
Well, you're right about that. And people want to have their say. They don't want to have the federal government determining who wins and who loses when it comes to a presidential election. They don't want them deciding who's going to be your senator from your state, or who is going to be your member of Congress, or who is going to be your state's governor, or your state senator, or your state rep. And what they would do is remove those determinations from your local community. And this goes down to giving the high sign to what your local election commission can and cannot do.
Senator, I'm curious to know how things are going with Senator Sinema and Manchin. I have to imagine they're facing some fierce opposition from their own party. You think they're going to be able to stand their ground on this?
I think they have made their opinions public and known, and they are standing their ground.
Good for them. Good for them. Yeah. And look, I have great respect for Senator Sinema. I suspect she's probably a little more to the left than, you know, people think. But the reality is she's representing her constituents, and that's what a senator is supposed to do. And she's doing a pretty good job of it from what I can see.
Well, I think that she is also. And people in Arizona do not want the filibuster to be tossed out. She realizes that. She has been very vocal in her position. She has made it known. And she's continuing to stand by that. And Todd, I think it is just so significant that she is sticking to her guns. And is just saying, no, this is what Arizona wants. I answer to them. And you have to look at it with Bernie Sanders coming out today and saying he was going to go find a primary opponent, or might support a primary opponent to her, and because she is sticking to her guns. But see, this is the thing. She is not doing what the Biden administration and Chuck Schumer want her to do. She is doing what the people that elected her
That's it.
expected her to do. But the leftist leadership, this just shows you the lack of respect they have for the people and the individual voter. They don't want people to do what the people that elected them expect. They want them to do what they're being told to do. And, of course, Chuck Schumer is trying to ward off a primary opponent and none other than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. AOC is looking to run against him this year in the Democratic primary. So what Chuck Schumer is doing to protect his political hide, he's having all of his members walk the plank. And this year, you've got some that are up. Mark Kelly, who's also from Arizona, he is up for election. You've also got Cortez Masto over in Nevada. You have Hassan that is there in New Hampshire. You've got Warnock that is on the ballot over in Georgia. So, yes, you've got plenty of people that are being forced to take a very difficult vote in a very tough election year.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Tennessee U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, we were talking earlier about this new CDC recommendation. They want to cancel sporting events like football, marching band, wrestling, you name it, because of the China virus surge.
Yes. And, you know, what they're trying to do is force this issue on China virus. We have to have a permanent pandemic. We've all heard the Fauci comments this week. We're seeing this forcing the testing. If you go buy a test, it's marked made in China. And I think people are beginning to say, look, coronavirus is not going to go away. We've got to learn how to live with this. We want our children to be in school. We do not want them to be put into Zoom school for another year. And Todd, I think people are talking to their physicians, their healthcare providers, and they're saying common sense has got to be brought to deal with this issue.
No, that's true. And I'm curious how things, how you guys are dealing with that, you and your staff there in D.C., where you have to show what you got to show your government papers to go to, you know, Chick-fil-A or wherever.
Well, yeah, your ID, your photo ID, you got to prove who you are. So you show your ID and your vax card in order to be able to go into any of the public buildings around here. And so if you're going to go to have dinner, go to the grocery store, go run your errands, go out with your ID and your vax card each.
You know, it is easier for a jihadist to get into this country and go to Texas than it is for a five-year-old to get a Happy Meal at McDonald's in Washington, D.C. It's just ludicrous.
Well, it is something that people thought they would never, ever see or have to contend with or deal with. But you're right. You want to go to the grocery store. You want to go run your errands. You want to go have dinner at McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or somewhere and be prepared to show that everybody 5 years and up has their vaccines, they've got their masks, they've got their IDs, the vax card and the ID match up. Be ready for it.
That's it. And by the way, I saw the Twitter feed. I gave a big birthday shout out to one of our great Tennesseans.
Oh, yes, Dolly Parton.
76.
A Tennessean, and she's 75 today.
70.
We're celebrating Dolly.
She looks great, too. She's a loop.
Yes, she does.
All right. Marsha Blackburn, always great to have you on the program. Thank you for just doing a terrific job up there in Washington.
You got it. Thank
All
you.
All right. Bye-bye. Marsha Blackburn, everybody. Great senator. We are blessed in the state of Tennessee. We have two great U.S. senators. And you folks in Georgia, hang in there. I think hope is coming. But it's unfortunate that you guys are represented by an avowed communist. But, you know, that's the way that cookie crumbles. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We pulled some audio in the last hour of the show. And I want to just illustrate for you a point about mainstream media hypocrisy. So they're out there. The media, they're out there accusing Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin of being traitors, right? Because they betrayed the party. These same journalists, back when Mitt Romney was standing up to Donald Trump, they called him a brave trailblazer. But when the Democrats do it, all of a sudden they become evil traitors. Take a listen.
Tonight, voting his conscience over his party.
The Mitt Romney decision is a fascinating one for this reason. He is now the president of the Republican resistance to Donald Trump.
He put politics aside.
That was a true profile and courage speech we just heard. That was the sound of a man who'd wrestled with his conscience, who tried to think bigger than partisan politics.
Why do they call themselves Democrats when they refuse to do what the party leader wants them to do?
People like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, these are the white people that Martin Luther King Jr. warned us about.
I think yesterday what Jeff Flake was trying to do was to rescue not one but two government institutions.
He talks a lot about the need to put conscience over party and principle over partisan loyalty.
What completely bad faith? What total bad faith from Kirsten Sinema?
Kirsten Sinema didn't just disrespect Joe Biden. She disrespected American democracy.
She completely embarrassed, politically embarrassed, the leader of her own party.
Do you think she should be replaced?
The maverick John McCain delivers the final blow to his party's health care fight.
The 80-year-old senator delivering a powerful wake-up call to a dysfunctional Congress.
None of it. Swaying the veteran senator, lived up to his nickname, the Maverick.
Do you feel that Senator Manchin is playing fair with you? I mean, he went on television and said no.
Quote, the truth is Manchin is best understood as a grifter from the ancestral home of King Coal.
For his bad faith, fake negotiating, and obstruction of a bill that would truly help his constituents. Joe Manchin, Maserati Manchin, is tonight's absolute worst.
And it goes on and on and on. These are hypocrites, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, you know, I keep bragging about the breaking news app over at Newsmax. Just got a breaking news alert. Want to share this with you. Looks like the UK has officially dropped all China virus passports, mask mandates, and work restrictions. That story up at Newsmax. We'll post a link to it over on ToddStearns.com. But there you go. Great news. And that's why you got to get this Newsmax app. I mean, you're going to get the boom. News breaks, and you know about it right in front of your face. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. I'm almost through this gallon of water. I'm halfway through there. This is all part of some sort of a weight loss campaign. So trying to slim down a few pounds, and we'll see how that goes. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We've got a picture of it on the Instagram. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, you should. We post a lot of fun photos there. Todd Starnes FNC. It's blue check mark, so you know it's me. And you'll get a nice little look at the studio there, too. So somebody wrote in, Todd, did you know that you can overdose on drinking too much water? You see, I had heard about that, but I didn't know if it was an old wives' tale. Our managing editor, Caleb Park, says, Todd, what are you doing? What are you doing? I get that. That's very clever. So there. Yeah. Anyway, Todd Starnes, FNC over on the Twitter feed Instagram, rather. By the way, have you heard about TSA, the touching sensitive areas people? This is a fascinating story. They have just announced there's been a big problem. You've got all these illegal aliens coming to the country. We don't know who they are. We have no idea. They could be terrorists for all we know. We just don't know. And TSA says, all right, well, we got to get these people out of here. So they're putting all these illegal aliens onto jetliners, and they're flying them all over America. You people in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you folks up in Pennsylvania, a lot of medium-sized cities, they're flying these planes filled with illegals into your communities, and they're just dropping them off in the dark of night. very well documented. So anyway, the problem is they don't have, these illegals don't have papers. They don't have any, they don't have anything to prove who they are. Now, if you or I were to get on board an airplane, we would have to show a government-issued ID of some sort, but not the illegal aliens. And TSA, the Touching Sensitive Areas people, have made an announcement that any illegal alien who does not have a government-issued ID can actually use their arrest warrant as a form of identification. Now, a lot of these illegals have been given a warrant to appear in court for a deportation proceeding. And the TSA is saying those are good enough to present to a TSA agent to allow you to get on board the airplane. And it's ludicrous. You've got poor little grandmas and you've got little children, and they're being manhandled and molested and fondled and Lord knows what at these TSA checkpoints. And they're making children cry. It's just horrible. They're making people with, well, I'll give you an example. Many of you know that I was dealing with a busted ankle, and I had to wear one of these giant boots. It's a very painful procedure. So I'm at the TSA checkpoint, and they're like, sir, you got to take your cast off. And I'm like, what? And sure enough, it was horrible. So you're taking it off, and you're putting the boot in there, the cast into the machine. And by the way, TSA, they've never caught any terrorists. The entire existence of TSA is meant to turn you into a criminal. That's the whole point. You accidentally show up to the airport and you got an extra bullet in your jacket because you're out hunting and you go to jail. That's all it's meant to be. And as beautiful as many of the airports are, as beautiful as Memphis International Airport is about to be with the opening of the beautiful new concourse, it still feels like a prison. And so now they're just going to say, all right, here you go. Hello, Mr. Illegal Alien. You've got an arrest warrant. Yep, that's good enough. They'll literally escort them onto the airplane, sit them down, give them a little cup of, you give them some pretzels and a little cup of Fresca, and send them on their merry way. The rest of us, we're being told, sir, they're pulling you aside. You got to bend over, and they're searching you up and down the wazoo. And it's not right. It is just not right. I told people the day the Patriot Act, George Bush was so excited about the Patriot Act, but I was very concerned because the Patriot Act was a patriot attack on our freedoms. Every time you get manhandled at a TSA checkpoint, you can blame George W. Bush and Liz Cheney's daddy. That's who you can blame for TSA. This is why people hate flying, honestly. I mean, it's like going into prison. Seems to me that when they show you the arrest papers, you put handcuffs on them and you haul them off to jail. But I'm old school. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Simply stated, there is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY. That's it. God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality. This notion that you are something other than your biology is a cultural construct intended as an assault on God. The only way you can address it honestly is to say, God made you. And God made you exactly the way He wanted you to be. You're not only fighting God in his physical creation. You are, even more importantly, fighting God in his sovereignty. You are fighting God in his spiritual relationship to you. This is a war on God. I'm not going to let God tell me who I am. I'm not going to let God define me. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to define myself.
That is Pastor John MacArthur, ladies and gentlemen, Grace Community Church there in Los Angeles, very prominent Christian leader. And we posted that snippet on our YouTube channel yesterday. And this morning, YouTube took it down. And they said the reason why is because it is considered to be hate speech. And you can read all about it on our website. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Very honored to have with us a friend of John MacArthur, the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College, our good friend, Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell, good to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, Todd. And that was an excellent snippet that you played there. And I concur with Dr. MacArthur that this is a war on God, and it's amazing when someone's heart is filled with rebellion toward God. You can say the sky is blue, they'll reject it. You can say this is a man, this is a woman, they'll reject it. And I know that Dr. MacArthur took a strong stand based upon the law that was passed in Canada recently. And, of course, I spoke against the same law as did several thousand pastors just this past Sunday.
Yeah, and that was part of a nationwide effort just to draw attention to what was happening up there. I mean, pastors are, and I know that many of your supporters, you have a good many supporters that live north of that border, and anyone who speaks out against those particular LGBT issues could face up to 5 years in prison.
It's really sad because the church is simply going forward as we have since the time of Christ with a message pertaining to the gospel of Christ, pertaining to all of the great doctrines, including the doctrine of the family. And, you know, God created male and female, and it really puts pastors in a position, for example, a pastor in Canada to preach and teach just verse by verse through the book of Romans chapter 1 would fear that he may be imprisoned. And there's been an ongoing attempt to create a protected class that really then limits the free speech of a Bible believing Christian or a pastor. And yet none of us want to inflict harm or have hate towards people who are living in these lifestyles. Nevertheless, we want to be able to share what the Bible teaches, and we want to speak the truth in love. And that's why, you know, I texted Dr. MacArthur Saturday evening and just told him I was praying for him and appreciated his leadership in this area.
And the reality here, you know, is that some people are saying, oh, well, that could happen here. No, it's already happening here. And there was an effort to do something very similar there in California that got shot down.
Yes, we had an effort in the state legislature, and I'm told it will come back up. We have had, you know, numerous threats along the lines of these transgender-type issues that have come through, and in the past have been vetoed. Even Governor Brown vetoed a few of them, but with the current regime in Sacramento, you have to wonder if they'll be vetoed next time.
No, that's a fair question, Dr. Chappell, and I think it's again illustrates how important those local and state races are, because a lot of these issues are going to be decided in the states. By the way, Phyllis writes in, YouTube is not qualified to determine Christian doctrine. That's a
well, she's got that right, and of course we see the media is obviously taking sides on all of these issues, and it's really difficult to watch, but we just recognize that we must stand. And one of the things, you take a person like Dr. MacArthur, he's a student of the era of the Reformation, and I've enjoyed studying that era as well. And when you look at the lives of the reformers, They were stepping out against not just Catholicism, but against the state church. And they really recognize that when you know the truth sets you free. And whether it's Luther nailing his thesis on the door, or whether it was the British reformers, they were really having to stand against a corrupt church and corrupt government. And so Christians are facing the same challenge today. And that's why it's good to know that thousands of pastors spoke to this issue and are taking their stand. And I pray that it will bring fruit in the months to come.
Well, you know, it was the weirdest thing, Dr. Chappell. A couple of days ago, there was a big hullabaloo, people accusing, people who I would almost categorize as woke preachers, saying that Dr. MacArthur was preaching out against or speaking out against religious liberty. And I just had to laugh because he's actually invited me, yours truly, to speak from that pulpit at Grace Community Church. So,
right.
I mean, it's just silly. But what troubles me, I suppose, is that many of these great men of God, and I would put yourself into that category, people that we've looked up to and admired and respected are now coming under such fierce attack by these woke evangelicals, as I call them.
Well, there's a real challenge that we're facing when men of God, woke evangelicals or whatever you want to call them, are not standing true to the Scripture. And the culture has been demanding that we bow on many, many of these issues, and it really isn't much unlike Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament telling the three Hebrew children to bow down on the plain of Dura and to worship him. And the culture they don't want us to tolerate these lifestyles. They want us to promote these lifestyles. And Dr. MacArthur is exactly right when he says that, you know, genetically God has given us male and female, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that these alterations of God's plan are rebellion against God. And when pastors want to start buying into it and buying into the culture and promoting the culture, really, I think you're finding that they were probably never God-called men to begin with.
Do you think that could explain why so many people are not going back to these churches now that the pandemic is, pandemic?
Yeah, well, I think now that there's opportunity for people to start coming back to church, some of these very liberal churches are finding they're not seeing people come back. Why do you need to come back to something that's just a reflection of what they could stay home and watch on ABC or NBC? You know, the fact is that we have to rally around truth, and this is where churches that have a strong doctrinal conviction will continue to go on. Now, they may have a purging, they may have some trials in the process. Dr. John MacArthur is a good example, though, that of people who are rallying around truth, and there's certainly not enough of them, and especially out here in California. But again, there were not a majority of people in the days of the Reformation, but how we thank God for those men and women who stood for truth.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend, Pastor Paul Chappell, Lancaster Baptist Church. And by the way, if you're in the Los Angeles area, it is a great congregation, and you should go and visit. Also, president of West Coast Baptist College. I'm curious, Pastor Chappell. We were talking to a young lady. She's running for Congress, New Hampshire. She's a Generation Y-er and Generation is that Z or Y? I get them all mixed up. Anyway, she's younger than we are, and okay. I noticed that generation does seem to be skewing a bit more conservative than other generations.
You know, it does seem to go in cycles, and I do believe there are people who have sensed the emptiness of the complete abandonment of morals and the complete, angst and hatred towards the things of God, and much of that is pushed in the public educational system, but then there comes a hungering for the Lord, and we've seen that in recent weeks with Generation Y, that there are young people that are beginning to ask questions and they're more open. I was talking with a Gen Z young man just the other day, and he was spouting off some atheistic rhetoric, but it was obvious he was, you know, puppeting what he had been taught from someone else. And when you just sit down with people and say, well, let's investigate this and let's really see, you know, is there a God and what is his plan and purpose for your life? And could he use you the way you are and so forth? Reasonable people many times will come back to the Lord. And so we'd pray that for this younger generation.
Dr. Chappell, you have a great website, paulchappell.com. That's two P's, two L's in Chappell, paulchappell.com. What's the latest book? I know you are a prolific writer. What's the latest book you've got out?
Well, the latest book is the book Keep the Faith, and it really deals with the very topic we're on right now. It talks about the difficulties of the woke pulpits and how their message has become a message of compromise and how they're adapting to the culture rather than conforming to the scripture. And it was written for pastors to challenge them to keep the faith, to stand true to the word, and to avoid the compromise that we see. And this is not new. You go to New England, you'll see congregational churches and different churches that are 100, 200 years old that are completely unbiblical, and mainline denominations have been compromising for years and years on some of these very issues, in fact, relative to the gay issue and so forth. What we weren't used to, Todd, was seeing it in more conservative conventions and fellowships, and that's what's alarmed some of us as we have sensed men in groups that once stood beginning to cave. And so I address some of that in the book, Keep the Faith. We name some of the names of the evangelical leaders that have softened, and it's done tactfully and lovingly, but it's right out there so you can understand what's going on.
All right. Folks, you can get that book and all sorts of other great materials at paulchappell.com. We've got a link in our live show blog, but you can just go there yourself, paulchappell.com. All right, Dr. Chappell, always, it's been a while. We're glad to have you back with
us. Happy New Year, Todd. It's glad to be with you, and thanks for shining the light on these very, very important issues.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. Pastor Paul Chappell, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and man, are they doing some great work. You know, you talk about wanting to get involved and support a college. That college, all they're doing is training up pastors and youth pastors and Christian leaders. That's it. That's what they're called. It's a Bible college, and they do an amazing job with that. And if you're, again, if we really want to change this nation and the trajectory of this nation, we've got to get back to the basics. And what are the basics? Well, we're one nation under God, and we need strong churches in America, not these wussified woke crowd. Seriously, It's in the Old Testament somewhere. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. Hey, by the way, the big White House press briefing news conference today, and we'll be live blogging that over on the website, toddstarnes.com. Also trying to interpret whatever they're telling us, but, you know, that's a little difficult. Interesting story out of Fairfax County, Virginia. You know, Governor Youngkin's going to have to really lay down the law with these people. Going to have to do it. A Fairfax County public school curriculum has students play privilege bingo, giving them privilege points if they are white, male, employed, or involved in extracurricular activities. It also says that among those children who have privilege are military kids. So if you're a child and your parents are in the military, you have privilege. Fox News has the, Daily Wire has the story. Luke Rosiak is the writer. A parent complained, received a note from the assistant principal or superintendent. The screenshot you referenced comes from an approved English curriculum that is centered around students selecting a choice test and examining in detail the author's perspective on a wide range of issues. Can I just say, there's no such, I mean, really, privilege? You got a lot of people in this country. They're born into wealth. Okay, I can see where that would be a privilege. All right. But you know what? An overwhelming majority of the rest of us, we're all in the same boat. And it's not just disingenuous. It's a lie to think that just because you were born white means that you somehow were born with special privileges. That is simply not the case at all. But this is where we're going. And I'm telling you that the longer these public schools teach white kids that they should be ashamed of the color of their skin and black kids that they should feel victimized because of the color of their skin, we are setting our country up for a great big problem. That's where all of this is going. So we got to call it out and we got to address it. By the way, tomorrow we're going to get into this story out of Los Angeles. What a horrible story. You've got a convicted criminal, a rap sheet a mile long, walks in and stabs this poor young girl to death. It's unbelievable. In broad daylight. Here's a thought. Stop letting these animals out of jail. We got a situation in Memphis where a cop getting ready to go to work, pulling out of his driveway, dark of night in a beautiful little subdivision. All of a sudden, car cuts him off, jumps out, and opens fire on the police officer. The cop got shot. He's going to be okay. But it turns out the person responsible had a rap sheet a mile long. Stop letting these animals out of jail. We act like we're surprised when you talk about what's happening in New York City, where they shut down all the mental hospitals. Where are those people right now? They're on the streets of New York City, causing all sorts of mayhem. People live in fear now in New York City. Did you know that? They live in fear. And then people, we don't know what's going on. Now you got the mayor. Man, this guy turned out to be a loser. Eric Adams, he hadn't been in office for a week or so. And now he says he hopes people feel safe. This is not about feelings. Nobody cares about your feelings. We care about fact. You either are safe or you are not safe. It's not about feelings. Come on. All right, so we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Get riled up here. I got to go drink my the rest of my half gallon of water here. All right, folks, been a lot of fun. Tomorrow, same time, same place. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.